Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Affordable housing crisis right now. It's a hot topic, everybody's talking about it, but the direction that I see the city going, although I'm sure that effort is being put into solving this problem, I'm not seeing any plans with the same amount of time and energy and structure put into them to solve the problem of affordable housing compared to the problem of downtown beautification.
You know, this is kind of an interesting comment. I actually know this person relatively well. Her name is Elizabeth Rayopa, and she is a couple of the kids of a couple of friends of ours that we know, like game players and good Christians. In fact, she's homeschooled. Part of the reason I wanted to share her comment is because when I was watching the city council meeting the other night, I'm like, oh, I know who that is. And I actually called her dad, and I'm like, you know, your daughter's doing a great job at city council, and, you know, this is, you know, I don't know, proud parent moments, right, kind of thing. But what she's saying, what Elizabeth is saying, is that the idea she sees, global picture here, right, and by the way, speaking off the cuff with no notes, which is like, pretty cool for I think she's 19, 18, something like that. Anyway, is that what she's looking at with the Reimagine Palafox project is not that in and of itself it's a problem to spend money this way, but that the urgency perceived in the ability to get a project like this across the finish line versus the urgency perceived and commitment to getting, for example, affordable housing projects across the line, there's a mismatch. You know, what she's saying, I'm not saying I agree with her, but what she and what a lot of other people at the meeting were saying was, you know, when we want to do something that's important to, say, the development community, they think, or to, you know, property owners, they think, or to, generally speaking, the well-off, it gets done. But when there's, you know, something that can help make housing more affordable or provide more benefits to people or make life easier for those who are suffering, well, if it doesn't get done, hell-hum, you know? And listen, whether you agree with that assessment of things that are happening in the city, I'm telling you that that is, at least according to the people who were at the meeting and talking about everything from the Reimagine Palafox project to the Baptist demolition, you know, to just general commentary, that's a perception that's out there. And whether you think it's justified or not, because I think I know what the mayor would say in response to this. We'll find out from him tomorrow and talk to him. But, you know, I think what the mayor would say is we're literally trying to do all of these things at the same time. You know, we're trying to fix Bay Bluffs Park, and we're trying to create affordable housing, and we're trying to create childcare, and we're also trying to demolish Baptist, which will eventually do a whole lot of things, including affordable housing and a better neighborhood in that vicinity. And we're also, you know, redeveloping Palafox in order to improve flood water and ADA access for people to go downtown who have disabilities or have walkability issues. Like, I think he would say, we're trying to do it all. You just are showing up on a night when we're doing more of this and not as much of that. But this perception was repeated by an awful lot of people. And politically, you know, you kind of always have to be aware of what are people thinking. Whether you think they're right or not, and I know I deal an awful lot in whether they're right or not, if a view is highly popular, it doesn't make the view right, but it does give the view power. And in a democracy, popularity is power, and power makes things happen many times, okay? So just kind of keep that in mind as you listen to the rest of her comment. Again, this perception that doing what the owners, the developers, the wealthy, the elites, the downtown crowd, however you want to style it, that doing what they want seems to get done with urgency and money and doing what the poor, the oppressed, the huddled masses, you know, however you want to describe them, what they want and need doesn't get that same level of enthusiasm.
I think probably a lot of people who are going to come up and speak are going to say the Palafox is already beautiful. And I understand as well that this project is a lot more than beautify Palafox. I don't want to be too reductive about it. But at the end of the day, I believe that the things that are going to empower our local businesses to succeed are when citizens are financially healthy. And I think that plans with the same amount of energy put into them as Reimagine Palafox would be a lot more compelling and worthy of this council and the city government's investment.
So do better for the things that matter to more people. And, you know, I'm not saying she's right. Hear me. It may sound like I'm saying I'm not saying she's right. I'm saying this is the viewpoint. And it also happened to be at the same meeting that a bunch of people who I would say historically have represented the socialists in Pensacola, people like Sarah Brummett and, you know, Deshaun McKenzie and, you know, Chanson Brummett, and there's a couple of others who kind of fall in that category. They were very passionate about roughly the same point of view. I'm not saying that Elizabeth is in their group. I don't think she is. I mean, for all I know, she might be. But, you know, their group, when they say it, they always act like it's all the people. They speak for everybody. You know, they're the Lorax. They speak for the trees. you know, all the people are upset about this. And I don't buy it from them because their sense of self-importance is overblown. I'm not saying they don't represent some people. I just think that they overestimate their own, you know, sort of popular sentiment that this is what all the people believe because, you know, historically, socialists kind of view things that way. Every once in a while, they get enough popularity to do something about it, and it's usually horrible for everybody else. New York. Anyway, we'll see over time. Anyway, Deshaun McKenzie, same viewpoint, said with a different voice.
What has become clear to me is that it's evident that the city really thinks hard about its business owners, and what's even worse is that the city really works for its developers. My question is, when does city council begin to work for us? This city is not made up of business owners. It's made up of teachers, bartenders, nurses, bus drivers, and sanitation workers, all of whom have a right to be heard in this city, not to aspire to own something someday so our officials will listen to us. We elected a city council, not a developer team. Reimagine Palafox, while featuring some useful things for the city, disregards the actual needs of working class people.
See, this is very well said socialism, right? This is rich versus poor. This is class warfare kind of stuff. This is you guys do stuff for the wealthy who have the power. And you don't do much stuff for us, the little people who don't have a lot of it. But, of course, keep in mind that without developers, you know, you don't have grocery stores. Without developers, you don't have apartment buildings. Without developers, you don't have houses. Without developers, you don't have downtown businesses. You don't have hotels that allow tourists to come and spend their money on sales tax revenue when they attend a sporting event at Ashton Brosnahan Park or when they attend Pensacon. Or, you get the point. Like, this notion that the wealthy people are the evil ones, that the builders and the developers are the terrible ones, it's nonsense. Also, just sort of basic economics, and I hate to play the third grade capitalism teacher here, but what does money mean? what does money mean? Money means that you did something for somebody that they appreciated and they said thank you. If I have money, the way I get money, other than by theft, which is a crime, is I do something nice. I talk on the radio, and people find it interesting. And then advertisers give money to our station because I tell people to go buy their products. And they do. And they need that. I do a value for you and the advertisers, and they give me money. I'm not stealing it. I'm creating value. I'm doing a nice thing and they say thank you. If I do enough nice things, I get more thank yous and I get more money. If I don't do a very good job and it's not a very popular show, we don't have very many advertisers, then guess what? I don't make much money. That's how my job works, right? You at your job, you might sell mortgages. Why do you get paid? Because you provide a professional service to help people acquire houses, right? Let's say, or businesses. If you paint those houses, you get paid. Why do people pay you? Because they don't want to have to paint a house. But they want a painted house. So they pay you to do it. Haircuts, restaurants, theaters. everywhere money is transacted freely, Walmart, the grocery store, you give them money because they give you milk. You give them money because they gave you a nice experience with an overpriced beer. But it's not overpriced because you voluntarily paid for it. You can buy that same beer at the grocery store for $2. You spend $8 for it at the bar. Why? Because you enjoy the experience of being around other people. Everywhere money transacts, there's value created, and people are grateful. That's what money means. Thank you. Okay. If you get more thank yous, it means you did more good for people that they appreciated. If you get fewer thank yous, it means you didn't do as much good for people and they didn't appreciate it so much. Yes, there are ways to do good things for people that you don't get paid. Okay, most mothers don't get paid much for all the good they do. But when money transacts, this is what it means. So, developers are people who manage to accumulate property, plans, ideas, market needs, labor, materials, advertising. They put all that stuff in a magic box and they come up with a brand new Publix or a brand new Costco or a brand new Taco Bell or a hotel. And then people come and pay money voluntarily to get the benefit of that thing, whatever it is. And those developers become rich by whatever standard you have. They earn $400,000 a year instead of $60,000 a year. What did they do wrong? Nothing. What did they do right? Everything. They did a lot of right things. Now, the consequence of their way of getting wealthy could be disadvantageous to the community because it makes people have more traffic, or because they don't mitigate stormwater, or because they don't pay a fair wage. So we have rules and regulations around the acquisition of wealth through the developing of property so that those harms are less or not at all. That's why we have things like a land. I don't mean to be like mansplaining capitalism, but these people don't understand this. And so the notion that developers get what they want, well, let's imagine that they do. Let's imagine that the developers get what they want. Why is it bad? Well, because it's not what the little people want. Are the little people making grocery stores and hotels and businesses and homes? Well, they work on them. Yeah, that's right. They work on them. And what's the value of the labor of a laborer versus the value of the labor of somebody who organizes the project and employs the laborer? Well, it's more for the organizer. Why? Because what they do is harder, more risky, more stressful. Show up and swing a hammer, pretty easy. Show up and put millions of dollars of your own investment and your reputation at risk because a project may or may not work, a little bit harder. So we pay them more. They make more money because fewer people are capable of doing it effectively, fewer people are willing to do it effectively. Many people would rather swing a hammer because it's safer and it's more what they understand. Again, the notion that people are bad or wicked because they build things or they make money or whatever the socialist argument of the day is a complete misunderstanding of what money represents. And as far as political power, again, those if you have the people who don't have the complicated skills, aren't willing to make the risks, and don't do the overall benefit for society, you get what Ayn Rand talked about in Atlas Shrugged. You get a flight of the creators. They will go somewhere else and create in other places. And then you get bottomed-out economies because all you have left is the people who don't understand how to make things, not really make things, organize things. So this whole them versus us mindset, this whole, eat the rich, you can't be doing what they want, is a fundamental mistake about what money means and about how capitalism works and how an economy gets ahead. So I understand their concerns. I understand their perception, but it's basically mistaken. Now, on the other hand, you have city council members who also had concerns. Charles Baer, the CRA money is being used in the wrong way because the CRA is designed to eliminate blight. And Palafox is not blighted. Why would we spend a bunch of money on a project on Palafox in order to eliminate blight in an area that's not blighted? Yeah, but the CRA is part of what helped it become unblighted. Right? And again, this is not just a cosmetic change to Palafox. This is ADA compliance and pedestrian safety and car safety and also stormwater mitigation. And I think Jen Brer is right when she raises the question of shouldn't that money more be coming from, say, the stormwater fund? Okay, yeah, but here we have this money. This money is coming from legitimate sources. Let's use it in this way to make it happen. So I'm actually on board with this project. I like the beautification project, but it's also stormwater and it's ADA. I'm a fan of the whole thing. people disagree about the appearance of it, but they did pass it. It was 5-2 over Jen Brer and Councilman Bear, Charles Bear's comments. I thought Casey Jones had the best comment of the night of a sort. He said, you know, my people want this. You know, the people who go downtown, they tell me they want this, so I'm going to vote for it. And that's how politics works. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Can I get a cleaner mug? This one's dirty.
It's the cleanest one I got.
You know, I sometimes think whenever I get to thinking about money and I start to get angry about how the basic stuff of our economic system doesn't get explained to people, I start thinking, you know what we ought to do is we ought to change the name of money. You know, we shouldn't call them dollars. We should call them like community thank you notes or appreciation units. You know, so somebody earns 100,000 appreciation units a year and somebody else earns 50,000 appreciation units a year. Who's doing more for the society?
For the appreciation.
Yeah, they're more appreciated. That's what money means. You know, who did more for the community? Well, who's got more community thank you notes? mean, that's literally what it means. But no, instead we're like, oh, how dare you earn more? I mean, I would love to earn more myself, you know, obviously. And if I did it, it'd be fine. But, you know, because you want to go to school and get a better education or whatever so that you can make more community appreciation money. Because you know it's not wrong. It's not wrong to be more effective at helping people. It's almost like we should have to say it when we give them money. Here's, you know, I just had a haircut. Here's my 20 appreciation units. Here's my 20 thank you notes instead of money. You know, like, just to remind us what we're really doing. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Everybody wants to feel more appreciated.
House. What a glow you'd have, you know? Woohoo!
The House is expected to vote as soon as today on a bill that would compel the release of the Epstein files. Newly released documents reportedly show that President Trump was mentioned in numerous emails from 2011. So we'll see what happens on that today. Tennessee court has ruled that the National Guard's deployment in Memphis as part of the Memphis Safe Task Force was unlawful. Temporary injunction requested by Mayor Lee Harris in Memphis was granted over claims that the criminal activity targeted by the task force never qualified as a grave emergency or disaster. The government has 5 days to appeal.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Trump administration blueprint for Gaza has been approved at the United Nations yesterday. Huge step passed by the UN Security Council. International Stabilization Force, you know, the group of peacekeepers or whatever, peace team that Trump is going to lead in a possible future path to an independent Palestinian state. Kudos to President Trump.
News. I'm CJ Pop. The House could vote today to compel the Department of Justice to release the files related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. President Trump is on board, saying he would sign the legislation and that we have nothing to hide. It would move to the Senate if it passes today. The president discussing affordability while speaking to a group of McDonald's franchise owners in our nation's capital.
I'm honored to stand before you as the very first former McDonald's fry cook ever to become president of the United States.
Also producing some laughs, President Trump maintaining he's cutting the cost of everyday items. Commander-in-Chief welcomes the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to the White House today, discussing both economic and defense deals.
I will say that we will be doing that. We'll be selling F-35s.
It's not a formal state visit, but it does come with a black tie dinner. America's listening to Fox News.
Protection. Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 54 degrees right now. Clear skies here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way in just a few minutes. Getting some more information on the man accused of killing a Pensacola business owner during a burglary a couple weeks ago. As it turns out, Joseph Michael Davis had a violent history at the same business. Back in 2022, Davis was convicted of stealing a van and tools from the AA Top Shop after breaking in through a hole in the wall. He'd been ordered to stay away from the business, but police say earlier this month he came back through that same hole, stole about $100 and some cell phones, and then killed 57-year-old Dean Chambers. Investigators say Davis had already finished the burglary and could have left without even being noticed, but instead, he stayed and attacked Chambers, who they say didn't see it coming. In 2021, Davis attacked an elderly roommate with a machete during an argument. He was charged with felonies in that case, but they were reduced to misdemeanors. He served less than 7 months in jail. Davis is now charged with Dean Chambers' murder. The Port of Pensacola is asking for $86 million from Triumph Gulf Coast to bring a U.S. shipbuilder to town. The grant would cover about a third of construction and equipment costs. City officials say the unnamed company would create 2,000 jobs over 5 years, with workers earning an average of $68,000 per year. If approved, it could be a big boost for the maritime industry in Pensacola. Florida's Attorney General James Uthmeyer announcing on Monday 122 missing children have been safely recovered in what they're calling one of the largest child rescue operations in U.S. history. The two-week effort was dubbed Operation Home for the Holidays. They located children across four major Florida cities, 57 in Tampa, in Tampa Bay, 22 in Jacksonville, 14 in Orlando, and 29 in Fort Myers. The children ranged in age from 23 months to 17 years old. Many had suffered abuse, neglect, or exploitation. The operation resulted in six felony arrests, and they say more charges are possible as the investigations continue. Well, food pantries across the area are seeing something they just haven't seen before: double the number of families asking for help this Thanksgiving. Feeding the Gulf Coast says they usually hand out about 6,000 meals for the holiday. This year, they're scrambling to prepare an extra 1,000. CEO Michael Ledger says the federal shutdown and cuts to SNAP benefits hit hard. Distributions are up 50%, and pantries already burned through their stock. Over the weekend at Marcus Point Baptist Church, more than 1,000 people lined up for their Thanksgiving giveaway. Some people waited in their cars overnight. Organizers say that's twice as many people as last year. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today, starting off in the 50s and the 60s. Temperatures warming up near the upper 70s for your highs. Partly cloudy skies overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back into the 60s. As we head into Wednesday, we will have temperatures warming up back into the mid to upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies going into Wednesday night, temperatures back into the 60s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
5:35, it's 54, and mostly clear skies right now. Our next news in 30 minutes, and we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. It feels like NVIDIA has made a deal with every major tech company at this point, as it finds itself at the center of the AI industry. That list of partnerships is even longer now that NVIDIA has announced a deal with ARM, which designs AI chips. Looks like Temu's plan to slash prices and offer steep discounts is working. The parent company of the value-focused online shopping giant reported a 9% jump in quarterly revenue. Temu had been struggling at home in China as well, vying for budget-conscious buyers with the likes of Alibaba. On Wall Street, futures are slightly lower, and another down day could be ahead. The Dow just had its worst three-day stretch since April's tariff uncertainty. It led the way down yesterday. The Dow lost 559, more than 1%. Investors are reconsidering the strength of the AI rally, which has pushed the market to record highs. Today, we'll get an earnings report from Home Depot. Very busy week of earnings. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. I've now practiced law for over 44 years. I'm proud to say that my three sons are my law partners. We have five offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. If you have been injured due to the negligence of another, call us at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Exciting news. The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stories.
The city appears to be ready to
engaging podcasts and various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today. From News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Good morning, 5:38, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, 55 now, but mid-60s, maybe pushing 70 a little bit later on the day. So shorts and a sweatshirt, like I wear. That's, you know, I figured this out years ago, that I couldn't look at the temperature and I would forget. You know, all summer long, I would forget at what temperature do I have to put more than just shorts and a t-shirt on. Even though I lived my whole life in the Midwest and growing up cold, you learn how to dress appropriately. And now I've totally forgotten, living first in Arizona and then living in Pensacola.
Yeah, I really do think you have forgotten.
Yeah, well, I do. And I literally get up, I check, you know, WeatherBug, and I'm like, what's the temperature? And if it's above about 65, 68, something like that, then it's just, you know, shorts and a t-shirt. If it's as low as 60 or 58, something like that, you know, then it's shorts and a sweatshirt or a sweater. And if it's 50 or below, pants. That's my rule. So
50 or below.
Yeah,
okay,
50 or below is pants.
That.
So if it's above 50, I'm not wearing pants.
Whoa.
Well,
okay,
I mean,
shorts.
You know, shorts, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yesterday I had a good chance to talk to Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. We had a couple of incidents take place over the last week in the county. Guy Dalton Wallace facing an attempted homicide charge for stabbing somebody in the neck. What happened here?
Yeah, a little anger management problem, basically. And I think also maybe a little alcohol was on board. They got an argument. Next thing you know, instead of just fist fighting, a knife comes out. And he did stab him in the neck, but he's going to survive, which is a miracle because, you know, all the blood vessels in the neck, it's like, holy moly.
Yeah, wow. Well, okay.
He got pretty quick.
So he's in, I guess he's in the Milton Hilton for a homicide charge?
He is, and I don't know what his bail is, but I'm sure it's going to be pretty high because that, you know, normally if it's a stabbing in a non-vital area or whatever, we can arrest him for aggravated battery. But when you go for the neck, that's attempted murder because you definitely can kill him that way pretty easily.
You also, we had an incident that, as I understand it, it was at the Emergency Operations Center, and this guy was breaking light poles and throwing trash around and wound up stomping on a flag. So I think he got arrested maybe for flag desecration. Is that right?
Yeah, just your normal idiot. He goes up there and wants to take the symbol of our nation and, you know, take it down and stomp on it. And you pay the price. In Santa Rosa County, as you know, we're probably 90% of the families here are either veterans, active duty, or have family members that are veterans. So we take our flag pretty serious here in Santa Rosa County.
You know, one of the things we've been talking about over the last several days a lot is the changes that took place in the bill that ended the shutdown. One of the provisions kind of tucked in there has dramatically changed the hemp and hemp-derived products industry. As I understand it, you know, this was all created by a loophole in 2018 in the ag bill that allowed the THC derived from hemp to be sold in, you know, stores. I mean, we've all seen these stores up in the Winn-Dixie, and everybody sells this stuff, these drinks that have THC in it. Well, now in the shutdown bill, they've wiped all of that out. I think it's 0.3 milligrams per container is the limit. I know you're not particularly much of a fan of any sort of artificial substances, but I didn't know if you had a perspective on this or if you guys have noticed that people being high is more prevalent because of the THC stuff that was available.
Yeah, well, I don't think we've noticed a big uptick in Santa Rosa County, but I think any time that you limit the THC out there, it's a good thing. So, and I'm kind of surprised that it came in the shutdown bill. I'd be anxious to know what other little things they tucked in there that's going to pop out later. But, yeah, anything that lowers the THC levels is a good thing.
Yeah, I generally – and or – even if as a society we're going to have the conversation, you know, we're going to decriminalize it or make it, you know, more available or something like that, I want that to be through the process. I don't want that to be through some backdoor element of a farm bill. I want it to – let's have the talk about whether we're going to want this stuff or not. So, you know.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And one thing you have to look at, too, is when you're discussing that is look at the places where it is just totally legal.
Yeah.
And do you want Florida to be like California or Colorado or – New York. I mean, it's, you know, it's the voter's choice, and I'm sure they'll get their vote on it in the future.
How much of an issue in Santa Rosa County is innovative synthetic substances, things that aren't yet on the banned list that they're coming up with and they're selling, it's getting people high, but it's, you know, like I think of spice from back in the day or, you know, products like this, like the THC that's derived from hemp. How much are your officers having to deal with those kinds of things?
Not a whole lot. Our thing over here in Santa Rosa County that we deal with a lot is fentanyl and carfentanil and then also methamphetamine. Those are the things that have been pretty, you know, regular basis kind of things here in Santa Rosa County. But since the border's been closed, you know, everything's gone down pretty much a little bit. And especially methamphetamine, we're expecting meth labs to come back because the border's shut. If you remember back in the 90s and early 2000s, you couldn't get meth hardly anywhere. So they were making it at these mom and pop labs all over, you know, the country. And then they opened the border and next thing you know, methamphetamine is so cheap, you can buy it cheaper than you can make it. So now it's just the opposite. The price is trending the opposite way. So we're expecting to start seeing some meth labs pop up.
Yeah, I think I might have been talking about this with our sheriff, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, about this and, you know, that same concern. Because I remember when, you know, the meth labs here that were always dangerous and people cooking in their cars and all that and getting hurt and leaving houses that had all of the, you know, terrible chemicals in them for the next buyer and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, but then when it became, you know, basically cheaper and higher quality to just make it in Mexico, basically, and import it across the border, that went away. And I had been wondering if we would start to see it. Have we, is this more at this point a concern, or are you actually starting to see, like you said, price go up and domestic production starting to tick back up again?
Yeah, we haven't seen a meth lab yet. We're just expecting it.
Okay.
Because the quantity of meth coming into the country now is dwindling. And because the Border Patrol, you know, once you let them loose and take the leash off, they can make a pretty huge dent in drugs coming across that border. And then obviously they're working the Caribbean pretty hard.
Right.
I'd be afraid to go fishing in a boat in the Caribbean right now. So it's pretty much cut off the drug supply to most of America, I think.
Have we seen, in your opinion, have we seen any change in trafficking, availability, price, anything like that, any market fluctuations because of the interdictions and the killings, essentially, in the Caribbean?
Yeah, I think the price has gone up a little bit, but I say give it another 2 or 3 months of the same operation going on and the border being like it is, and then we're going to see a spike. It's going to go way up because it's just going to be so much more difficult to get it into the country.
Well, not to name any names, but based on my vast experience in the field of methamphetamine production and having watched almost all of Breaking Bad now, I do recommend you keep an eye on your high school chemistry teachers because that's going to be your laundry facilities.
Especially the bald ones.
That's right. We're talking to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, I have one more question for you. Give me just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but we're still dealing with the traffic light that's out at Highway 90 and Woodbine. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Why do you suddenly look so worried, bald John?
I'm like,
sir? I'm bald as well, but I failed chemistry, so you're good.
It's weird how that's a brag, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, it occurs to me, I know you're very law and order, you're kind of a, you know, stern law and order kind of guy, and Florida is now basically in the process of trying to clear out all of our death row inmates. We are, you know, pretty much every week we're executing somebody, and I have talked repeatedly about how horrible these people, the crimes that they have committed are atrocious. Yeah. It still offends me that it takes 25 years to execute some of these people. But do you have a perspective on this and what DeSantis seems to be doing with clearing out the rolls?
Oh, no, I love it. And I'll tell you something else. I think they should make that bed that do the lethal injection on, make it a king size, do like 2 or 3 at once and just start clearing them out. Because, it's been so long since we've actually executed people on the scale. But these guys are sitting there for 25, 30 years and they're guilty of some of the most horrific crimes imaginable. And they're sitting there and they're living off the government. And it's about time we got going on it.
We're in a weird place as a country. The Supreme Court, there was one of these people, and I don't remember if it was, I think it was not one of ours because it had to do with the firing squad, that basically the guy didn't want to get the, I think it was the nitrogen one, that he did not want that. He wanted to be shot. And the Supreme Court ruled that he wasn't entitled to that. And of all people, Sonia Sotomayor, a very liberal justice, actually wrote this dissent explaining why she thought an inmate should be entitled to be shot instead of executed the other way. And I thought, we are in a really weird place as a country.
Yeah, I would not see that coming from her.
No, exactly. Well, her argument was it's basically it's more humane, it's more known as opposed to some of these experimental ones, and therefore it was more likely to not run afoul of the Eighth Amendment. But yeah, this is the place we're at as a country. It's kind of an unusual situation. And I'm with you. I think, hey, you know, the only chance that capital punishment has a chance of deterring is if we are doing it routinely, rapidly, and not flinching, you know, and putting in 25 years of appeals in the process. But I figured you'd have a perspective on that, so I appreciate that. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Senator of the Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir. Thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Andrew.
Yeah, you know, the one time I remember ever in my life getting spanked by my mom was I wrote on the wall with her lipstick.
The lipstick?
Yeah. What? I don't know. I mean, I was five. I was maybe. Might
but
have
you
been
remember
four.
That?
I, Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, she wasn't big on spanking. You know, my mom was a liberal. Okay.
Gotcha.
But, you know, honestly, that one time, vivid enough. Okay, don't do that. Also, oh, this is on the table? Okay. Great. But, you know, she didn't say, hey, you know, you wrote on the wall in lipstick, I'm fixing the, you know, spank you in 15 years.
Right.
Maybe, after an appeals process. You know, I mean, I don't want to be flippant about the death penalty. We shouldn't be flippant about taking people's lives. But it needs to be a lot closer to the act. You know, this notion of 20 years of waiting is insane. I mean, it's really insane. It makes no sense at all. Now, you can't just rush it because you got to make sure that you've got the right people. And I've had a lot of conversations about the death penalty over the years. But essentially, my view is this. If somebody is beyond any doubt guilty, and that's my standard, I don't want to execute people, not just a reasonable doubt. I think you should convict beyond a reasonable doubt. You should execute beyond any doubt. Right? I mean, because we know some people, we absolutely know that they're guilty. Okay? Those are the people you should execute, and you should do it right away. I mean, you know, it takes time. Trials are ridiculously long to begin with. So by the time somebody has committed a crime, from then to a verdict is usually, what, about 2 years? You know, in that vicinity, okay? It's usually not less than a year, and it's probably somewhere less than 3 years typically. Well, then appeals take time. But, you know, it should, you can expedite this process. And it shouldn't be 5 years later. And we're doing it 25 years later. It's ridiculous. Of course it doesn't have a deterrent effect, or at least not much of one. And I actually have a lot of thoughts about deterrence, too, about whether that's, you know, you cannot justify the death penalty on the basis of deterrence alone. And the reason is actually kind of simple. People don't usually talk much in depth about this because most people who favor capital punishment favor it for deterrence. I don't. That's not my reason. I think that it's justice. I think that the only way you can honor the person who's taken the blood is by taking their blood. That's a biblical thing. But, you know, this is the right level of punishment for that particular crime. But, you know, deterrence alone can't be the basis of it. Because, you know, you could deter graffiti with the death penalty. You know, you could deter, I don't know, you know, cocaine use with the death penalty. You know, just kill all the coke addicts. You know, kill anybody who uses cocaine. We could kill them all. Line them up against the wall and shoot them. You would discourage cocaine use. But you are overpunishing. You are engaging in an injustice. And you are using those people not as people, but as means to influence other people's behavior. And you cannot use people as means. That's a basic ethical principle, you know, Kant, deontology, however you want to phrase it. People must be treated as ends in themselves. They must be treated as representing the image of God in themselves, even if they've defaced it through this violent behavior. You still cannot use them merely as means. So you cannot overpunish in order to accomplish the effect of deterrence. But if the punishment is the correct one, then doing it more swiftly accomplishes deterrence as an additional benefit, even though that's not the reason that you do the thing in the first place. So swift, clear, unambiguous punishment for crimes is essential for there to be any deterrence at all. Swift, clear, unambiguous execution of murderers is necessary in order for that to have a deterrent effect. Because basically, you've got to get them to believe that there's something more than just life in prison facing them. Of course, most murderers don't think they're going to get caught anyway. That's an additional problem. The rational calculus of criminal deterrence is difficult because most people don't think they're going to get caught. Like, if they thought they were going to get caught, they probably wouldn't do it in the first place. So balancing the additional benefit of discouraging behavior through the death penalty versus life in prison is, again, a difficult calculus. But anyway, I'm sorry. I'm talking a lot about capital punishment. But I did write, I don't know, 12,000 words on this subject one time. An 11-part essays. So it's in there, you know, it's worth talking about. So if you're into, if you're a policy nerd and you wanted to hear a 3-minute soliloquy on the death penalty, now you've heard it this morning. All right. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Not all service companies are created equal. Hi, this is Judy Lacey with Barbary Plumbing, and we're proud to say we're a local, family-owned small business serving our community for over 50 years. In 1972, my dad, Louis Barbary, started this company with a vision of providing the best quality service with honesty and integrity for the community. Small businesses are the heart of America, and when you support a locally owned small business, you help to keep your community strong. We are not one of those plumbing franchise companies that will charge you an arm and a leg. At Barbieri Plumbing, we always use the flat rate pricing so you know exactly how much the job will cost before the work begins. No franchise fee to pass along. You may not need a plumber today, but when you do, call Pensacola's best plumber, Barbieri Plumbing, at 477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
License number RF1106-7749.
Anderson Subaru has some outstanding fall offers on select 2025 Subarus. Choose 1.9 for 48 or 2.9 for 72 on Foresters. Get 1.9 for 63 on Crosstrek. Or choose 0% for 36 or 0.9 for 72 on Outbacks. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
All right, gentlemen, big event. Operation Late Night Excitement.
Another panty raid trip?
No questions, dog face! Dress up and move out!
Good morning, 5:57 on News Radio 92.3, informative local Beastie Boys. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Airports nationwide now operating normally again after the FAA lifted the shutdown-related flight restrictions over the weekend. The limits were put in place to help understaffed airports during the shutdown. AAA now says the timing avoided major holiday travel disruptions, with the shutdown ending just as Thanksgiving travel is starting to pick up. The FBI confirming Cash Patel's girlfriend has been granted a protective detail. Officials reportedly tapped SWAT team members for Alexis Wilkins' protection instead of the normal FBI detail. The FBI said Wilkins has received the protective detail because she's faced hundreds of credible death threats related to her relationship with Cash Patel. And rapper Nicki Minaj apparently addressing the United Nations in New York today. Noted expert on...
on what exactly? Well, so tell.
She'll be speaking about alleged violence towards Christians in Nigeria. The appearance was arranged
She's
in partnership with the Trump administration. So there you go.
So Trump's UN delegate to talk about anti-Christian violence in Nigeria
is Nicki Minaj.
Yeah,
that seemed a little odd to me.
I got nothing. I mean, I got nothing. All right. Thanks, David. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. Oh my goodness. Did you see this? We have an F-22 pilot just remote operated a drone wingman.
Really?
Mm-hmm. On a tablet. So, you know, you're flying the world's baddest airplane, the F-22, not the F-35. The F-22 is a wicked plane. And you're just cruising along, you know, picking out targets, thinking about things. And your drone, your remote operator, I don't know if you whistle while you work, but you're remote operating a drone too. This is the future. I mean, this is, you know, you're talking like drone swarms and, you know, multiple platform attacks and, you know, a plane surrounded by a bunch of other planes, or, you know, platform remote operated and or autonomous and or operated by the pilot and or operated by Elon Musk's implants in your brain. I mean, you know, this is where we're going. And they did the first successful test of this with an F-22 controlling an MQ-20 Avenger combat drone over Air Force's Nevada Test and Training Range. They just put out this release on Monday, General Atomics, which makes the MQ-20.
Local news.